So welcome to this talk on opening the heart. This is such an important time because it can be said the only prerequisite for healing is that you keep your heart open. Everything else will take care of itself. Therapy, if you're listening to this talk for that context, will go 1,000 times faster when you learn to open your heart. However, life in general becomes 1,000 times better when you learn to open your heart. It's one of the most important things you can do because a closed heart, as Gibran wrote in The Prophet, laughs not all of its laughter and weeps not all of its tears. A closed heart is being half alive. It's shielding oneself, protecting from life. It's saying, I can't handle this experience called life, and therefore I'm going to close down and numb myself and put up walls between myself and reality. This may seem like an answer. It may seem like a valid option. But in the end, ask yourself, where is it leading? It doesn't matter what stage you're in your growth. You can be totally caught up in suffering, feeling total darkness, and the teaching of opening your heart is relevant. You can feel like it made a lot of progress in the path, cleared out a lot of emotional blockages, having worked through a lot of pain, and even at that point, you want to remember to keep opening your heart. The state of the human being is meant to be full of light, full of joy, full of peace, wisdom, love, and clarity. However, most of us are not feeling that. So when we come to a hypnotherapist or a therapist or a healer, or we start the spiritual path and learn to meditate or do yoga, we're looking for the light, which means we're looking to feel good. We want to feel free of suffering. We want to be free of anger and fear, sadness and hurt, guilt, anxiety and depression. We know inherently this isn't natural. You know in your heart your natural state is not meant to be one of suffering. So you ask yourself, how do I know that I'm not meant to feel bad? Why does pain feel so bad? Because it's not your natural state. You're not at home in pain, and that's why it feels so bad. Theistically speaking, the soul belongs in its source. You are only comfortable in peace. Your soul, meaning you, are peace. If you are not experiencing that, you know something's wrong. One of the key steps to reclaiming peace under all circumstances is to open your heart. Now you may say, but if I open my heart to life, I'm not going to feel peace. I'm going to feel terrible. If I'm fully open, I'm going to feel sad. I'll have to realize how angry I am. I will have to feel all that hurt. It's true. And if you said that, you would be correct. If you open your heart, you will feel your emotions. It's important to understand what it means to open the heart, how the heart can open and close, and why with the heart is opened, you will feel all of your feelings. It's important to understand when you're considering fully opening up that when the heart is fully open, anything that's blocked in there can be cleared out and healed. When you keep your heart closed, when you suppress your emotions, when you deny your feelings, when you wear a mask and laugh when you're really hurting, when you pretend you're okay when you're not, when you do anything to shield yourself from your feelings, you keep the feelings trapped in your heart. If you turn to cigarettes or food, sex, or turning to a friend when you feel lonely, these are all attempts to feel better. Prescription medications are absolutely this attempt to feel better. If you understood that every time you use something outside of yourself to make you feel better, and that this was pushing the emotions further into your heart. You would never want to do that. Sometimes medication or food, drugs, or alcohol can help you cope when you feel like you're not strong enough to deal with life. So you try to close down or to numb yourself or to just feel good temporarily. However, anybody knows who lives with this mechanism engaged, they know they're not happy. They might say they're happy, but they are really not happy. As long as a person holds anger or fear or sadness or guilt or unforgiveness or jealousy or anxiety and depression that comes from all that, then you are not happy, not all of the time. When you start true profound growth, you want to be telling yourself, I want to be okay all of the time, no matter what. This begins with opening the heart. Let's talk about what that means. The heart is not your physical heart. When I use the word heart, I'm referring to your emotional self. However, your emotions are felt in this region, below your shoulders and above your waist. It is what we call your felt sense. Your solar plexus region is also a place where you have a lot of feelings that you've stored. That's just above your belly button and below your heart. This region is what we call the subconscious mind. Subconscious mind meaning below your conscious awareness. In truth, you shouldn't have a subconscious mind. Now, I know most people won't tell you that, as psychology has the model that, of course, part of your anatomy is a subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is a part of you you are not aware of. It's the part of you where you store your memories, your negative beliefs about yourself, and your emotions. They say the subconscious mind is the emotional mind. It's the storehouse of your memories. It's what motivates your behaviors and directs your energy. However, why does it exist? Why is there a part of you that's outside of your consciousness? Why is there a part of you that's buried away that you're not fully aware of? The subconscious mind, referring to your heart, is where all your feelings are stored. These are unresolved feelings. In the deeper spiritual psychologies, there's no subconscious. There are simply what are known as sanskars. The word sanskar is a Sanskrit word, and perhaps it's best defined as a mental impression. Often in the West, we hear this word pronounced as sanskara or samskara. More properly, it is pronounced sanskar. The heart is meant to be opened, and light and love are meant to pour through it constantly. However, you know, most people experience is that they feel bad. They feel that somehow this life force is getting knotted up inside through these blockages and filtering up into the conscious mind as sadness or as fear or as anxiety. You don't want to stuff this stuff inside you. So what happens is when you're a kid, when you were younger, life happens to you. Events happen. These events imprint upon your conscious mind. The neutral ones, or the pleasant ones, tend to go right through you. You don't have to remember those as much. It's nice to remember those. However, it's the negative ones that get imprinted and held and stored right at the front of your heart. It is a survival mechanism. It says, when something bad happens, when something painful happens, you need to remember so you can try to avoid it happening in the future. It's the mechanism that you might imagine the ancient cave people had. When you walk into the woods, you see a beautiful flower on the ground. You remember that, but not as much as when the tiger attacked you or nearly ripped off your arm. You'll have to remember that tiger and what it looks like far more than you'll have to remember that flower. So in childhood, traumatic things happen to us. The more emotional pain you hold in your heart is pretty much aligned with how much trauma happened to you when you were younger. The fight or flight mechanism, which says, if I'm feeling pain or threat, I have two choices. I can run from it or I can fight with it. Because as a child, you can't run from your parents, not for long anyway. And you can't keep fighting with your parents. And because your parents usually say things like, children should be seen and not heard, and they don't want to hear about your emotions, as emotions are for the weak, and they don't want to hear about your feelings. These events that happen to you, the uncomfortable ones get stored inside of you. These parts of your psyche literally get trapped within. The energy of that moment, which was just trying to pass through you, doesn't pass through you because you're not okay with it. You don't know what to do with it, so you wind up burying it inside of you. This becomes your memory. The traumatic memories are held up in front. They are held right there so that you can remember them to try and avoid this pain in the future. In these memories are negative beliefs about yourself. When you have a sanskar, which is an impression, a memory, placed upon your conscious, embedded into your psyche, it always has some level of conclusion that goes with it. If you are beaten, you conclude that I am bad, I'm weak, I'm powerless, I'm helpless. If you were molested, you might feel I'm dirty, I'm bad, this is my fault, I deserve this, I'm shameful, I'm ugly. If your parents didn't treat you kindly, then you concluded, I'm unlovable, I'm unloved, I'm worthless, I'm not important, I'm useless. There's no point in my existing. I'm a non-entity, a non-person. This list is huge, and if your heart hasn't opened, you are not able to get in touch with these beliefs. They remain in the subconscious, and they continue to run your life. These negative beliefs cause emotions. When you feel unlovable, you are going to feel sad. If you feel unloved, you're going to feel afraid. If you conclude that you were abandoned, betrayed, and alone, of course you'll feel afraid and you'll feel sad. When you've been hurt enough and all of these memories keep just implanting inside of you and all the fears coming up from all of this hurt, eventually you start to get angry. However, you can't run and you really can't fight, so all of this stuff keeps just getting stored inside you. The hurt becomes the fear becomes anger, and if the anger keeps perpetuating, it turns into hatred and rage. However, because you really can't feel this, because you don't want to keep it, because you can't express it, because you can't run away, you end up suppressing it. Eventually, you learn that drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or food make these emotions feel better, or that tensing your body or by stopping your breathing or just checking out and trying to numb yourself or to disassociate from these experiences will help you feel better. Every time this mechanism is engaged, you keep pushing the stuff inside more and more. Now you start to feel depressed because your heart is clogged with these emotions. The sun scars, which are now consisting of your memories, your beliefs, and your emotions, are like dark spots stored in your system. These are like blockages in the energy flow. And when life keeps happening, you keep noticing these buttons keep getting pushed. Your sun scars are your buttons. When you say, ah, he can really push my buttons, what you're saying is he sure reminds me of all the pain that I hold inside of me. Again, because you don't want to feel these feelings, one mechanism that you can do is you could push these feelings back down. The more you do it, the more depressed you will feel over time. Anxiety is not an emotion. Depression is not an emotion. These are illnesses. These are not diseases. It's a dis-ease, but it's not a disease that's caused by a chemical imbalance. If you keep holding these emotions inside, of course it will affect your physiology. In fact, all psychosomatic illnesses come from these suppressed blockages. And of course, this will affect your brain chemistry. And of course, doctors will be able to measure this and tell you, oh, it's just imbalance in the brain chemicals. You know better. You live inside your being. When you suppress your emotions, you keep feeling more hopeless and get more depressed because the life force is no longer flowing. And then the anxiety is simply because you're afraid of your own feelings. Anxiety is not an emotion. It's fear of emotion. Depression is not an emotion. It's all of your emotions, especially your anger, turned inwards. Suppression doesn't work. If you want to clear out these blockages, if you want to live in peace, if you want to feel good all the time, which is possible, you'll have to clear out these sand scars. You have to remove the blockages in your heart. So I'm here to tell you how to do that. But first, you have to understand what not to do. If you suppress your feelings, which is number one of what not to do, don't suppress. If you suppress your feelings, you are continuing to put more stuff into your heart. It's trying to come out, and you keep pushing it back in. Understanding the suppression mechanism is very important because every time you feel bad and turn to food, you're suppressing it. Every time you take some chemical prescription medication, you're suppressing it. Every time you turn to drugs or alcohol, you're suppressing. Understand that you can also suppress by just tensing your body or stopping your breathing or just denying a certain feeling. When you stop doing this, you're going to start feeling your emotions more. Therefore, you might conclude, or you might erroneously be told, well, just get your emotions out. If you're feeling these, you've got to get them out. Let's talk about anger for a moment. I'm telling you not to suppress your anger. Don't push it back down into your heart. Therefore, you might think I'm telling you to let it out. If you let out these energies, you will make a huge mess of your life. You will hurt those around you, and you will reinforce the existence of these emotions. If you're angry at someone and you deny it and you push it away and pretend you're not, they did something that you didn't like and you just pushed down that incident, held it inside, and didn't tell them. Next week when they do it again, you become more angry. So you say, well, then I'm going to let it out. So you start to express these emotions. You act out on these emotions. Your anger becomes verbal or physical. You might yell, scream, or even hit. When you let this out, think about what happens next week when they do the same thing. Are you more mad or less mad? Of course, you're more mad. Sun scars can be removed. However, they are not removed by pushing them back down, nor are they removed by letting them out. They are removed by two very simple processes. Yet you need to listen to this talk and similar teachings over and over to remember this, because the normal way of being is to do something about a problem. True healing does not involve doership. It involves non-doership, and it's counterintuitive to everything we learn, especially in Western culture. If there's a problem, I have to fix it. If there's a decision, I have to make it. Ask yourself, do you know how to digest your food? You know how to eat, but you do not know how to digest your food. To eat is human. To digest is divine. Do you know how to heal your wounds, your physical cuts? Doctors diagnose, God cures. You know how to put a Band-Aid on. You don't know how to heal a cut. Do you know how to make a baby? You know how to have sex, but you do not know how to make a baby. Why then do you feel the need to be the one to heal your own heart? You're not responsible for that. There is a natural intelligence to the body and to the emotional system and to the mind, and everything will come back in balance when you learn how to let it be. Imagine a pond all full of dirt and waves, and somebody was in the pond splashing around. The water is stirred up, and all you can see is dark, murky water. There's no more clarity and no more reflection of you. If you decide to suppress these waves, suppress the dirt, and you actually jump into the pond and start trying to organize yourself, you're only going to make more of a mess. And if you start throwing the water out of the pond, trying to get at the dirt and dig it out, you'll only find that you keep coming back with more water, and then it brings up more dirt with it. If you want to clear your heart, if you want this pond and all of the darkness to clear out, there are two things to do. Number one, get out of the pond. Number two, let it settle down on its own and feel whatever you have to feel while it is coming back to balance. The first step involves what we call witness consciousness. This is where you learn how to observe your feelings from a place of what we call the higher self. You are not your emotions, you're not your body, and you're not your mind. What happens is there is a misidentification where the soul, for a lack of better term, the consciousness itself, gets caught up in the body, mind, and emotions. It doesn't know how to feel better, so it just starts to close the system down through the act of willpower. When you suppress an emotion, ask yourself, who is suppressing it? If you stop your thoughts, who is stopping your thoughts? If you move your arm, who is moving your arm? It's not your arm that moves itself. It's not your emotion that suppresses itself, nor is it your mind that stops itself. You are the soul. You are the consciousness. You are the one who hears your thoughts. You're the only one who feels your emotions, and you're the only one who can observe your body. This understanding of who you are is crucial to opening the heart, because if you are trapped or caught up in the waves in your emotions and mind, you will never be able to let them fully settle down. And you'll be terrified of having to feel these uncomfortable feelings as they are trying to be cleared out. When you learn, and part of this task is to teach you how to sit in the seat of consciousness, you can transcend your feelings. You can observe them from the space of the higher self. And this is synonymous to sitting up in a bridge looking down at the pond of water. It doesn't matter if the pond is dirty to the observer. It doesn't matter that the waves are being stirred up. You can transcend the pond and those waves so much that you're not even feeling the sprays of the waves. Therefore, you do not have to suffer while your heart is being cleared out. You might call this spirituality, you might call it metaphysics. It doesn't matter what you call it, because you can have this experience. It's actually the experience of acceptance. It's an experience of not judging. It's an experience of allowing. You might say, well, this is just a philosophy and there are so many philosophies. Honestly, if you get caught up in that way of thinking, then you will keep going after philosophy and philosophy, always arguing about what's right about it and what's not, and never just simply plunging into the truth. There is truth about who you are, and you can learn to move into who you are. So right now, close your eyes and bring your attention into the space of your forehead. We're not focusing on your body, and we're not focusing on your emotions. We're not even focusing on your mind. There's a space in your forehead. It's silent. It's still. It's peace. Go there now. There are four levels to a human being. Number one, the body. Number two, the emotions. Number three, the mind. And number four, the soul. The soul is not mysterious. It's your own consciousness. It's the I am presence that you are. You know you are conscious. It is impossible to deny it. But who is this consciousness? You are. It doesn't matter what you call it. You hear me, and you can hear it. You are not it. You are the one who's listening. You're the one listening through your ears. You are the one seeing through those eyes. And you feel wonderful when you learn to sit in what we call the seat of the soul, to learn to transcend the body, mind, and emotions, and to simply observe the lower self. There are two movements concerning how to meditate, concerning opening the heart. The pivot point from these movements up or down is the space in your forehead. So right now, imagine looking up inside your head. You're looking into that space of consciousness. Look between your two eyes into that space in your forehead, into that black blue space within. Observe the witness itself. This is the knower. This is the observer. You, as the consciousness, have the ability to observe yourself. You can observe your body, your mind, and your emotions. And you can also observe the observer. Simply go there, focus on that center point in between your eyes, and look up. The second movement is to look down from this place in your forehead, as if you were looking down from a bridge. This is the seat of your soul, where you can look down. You'll notice you have a body, you have emotions, you have a mind, but you are not the body, the mind, or the emotions. You are just observing them. They are changing and transitory. However, you, as energy, are eternal. You are simply energy. And you are always there. Even if most of your body parts were removed or ceased to have negative emotions, and even when your mind is quiet, you, the energy, is still there. Notice the stillness of that energy. Notice how that energy is peace. That you is peace. You can always be in the space of peace, even when you're opening your heart and clearing out the emotions. When you're suffering, when you're caught in your mind or emotions, or you're feeling bad, ask yourself one question. What am I forgetting right now? And the answer is, you are forgetting that you are peace. You are the peace that exists right in your forehead. Go there now. Take time every day to practice meditating on that space. Practice being the observer, the knower. Practice being in the seat of your soul, knowing that you are able to live life in peace, being able to observe the events, your emotions, and that you are constant and you are peace.